ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday.
Whoa, dude.
What?
It's Saturday. We talked about this.
On Saturday, June 1st, Lincoln, Nebraska, Rainbow Comics, Cards, and Collectibles. Come join us at the Friendly Neighborhood Mini-Con.
Featuring local artists and comic creators, Omug Comics, Art of Lee Bachma, and Tank Zombie Studios.
All your favorite podcasts. Covert Nerd, Make Eternia Great Again, Daydream Instruction Manual.
June 1st at Rainbow Comics, Cards, and Collectibles. Doors open at 11 o'clock a.m.
With contests and door prizes. Oh yeah, did we mention free admission?
Rainbow Comics, Cards, and Collectibles, located at 1501 Pine Lake Road, Suite Number 17, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68512.
Rio Blast here, Eternia's only cowboy. This here free mini-con is brought to you in participation with your friends, the Last Starfighters Entertainment Group.
This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Mega, making Eternia great again!
I am Eddie, Prince of Daydream Destruction Manual and defender of the Podcast Arcade. This is Carl, my goat-kicking friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic microphone and said, "By the power of podcasts, I have the power!"
I have the power too!
Carl became the mighty Goat Kicker, and I became E-Man, the most podcasty man in the universe! Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Podcastress, Jeff at Arms, and Dorko. Together we defend the Podcast Arcade from the evil forces of boredom! Mega!
Welcome to another episode of Make Eternia Great Again. I am your co-host, Carl Smith.
And I am Jeff. And today, we're really off the rails. We're doing something way different. So we have a trio here.
Yeah, and it's not the trio you'd think.
That's right. It's not the trio you think. It's actually a better trio. Take that,
That's
Eddie.
That's right. Yeah, lean and mean.
That's right. Yeah, we
that
have...
That wasn't a fat joke.
That's not... Joke. No. We trimmed Eddie off. No, we're just trimmed Eddie back. Was not able to be here today. But the good thing is that Lee Searcy from yes. Covert Nerd
Hello,
has
Lee.
Graciously popped in and is going to spread some O2 love with us.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys. I
yeah.
appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Yep. Thanks for coming in at such short notice.
Yeah, for the last episode.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the final episode. Did anybody tell Eddie this is the final episode?
I'm going to pull the David Bowie and be like, this is our last performance
that's right.
together.
Like, wait, what? That's awesome. So funny. No, Eddie obviously had some dad duties that he had to do, so he wasn't able to be here, unfortunately, but he's with us in heart.
That's right.
He's right. with us in spirit.
That's right. But we're going to have an excellent episode. We're going to be talking about another one of the evil warriors today, the one and only Webstore.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to start things off, I think, talking about the toys. So I think everybody probably remembers Webstore, you know, whether you had him or not. He was very iconic looking.
Yeah. I think 90% of the people who are our age might remember Webstore shirtless.
Yes. Yes, because the...
I think it's more iconic than he looks. I was actually surprised when I saw his harness. I'd forgotten what it looked like, but... I remember the figure, but I'm like, did he have that? Well, he had to have had that.
Yes.
The shirtless Webstore is a classic look.
Because you screwed up the grappling hook, or you lost the chest piece right away.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the thing. Like, he was, I mean, we just went down to PCE before we got here and saw our good friend Candy down there at Pop Culture Exchange. And we were talking about the Webstore, you know, and he was like, I actually got one. I'm like, sweet. And so we go over, sure enough, no string.
Like, no body armor.
Yep. He's like, yeah, that's pretty rare for him to come in here with that.
So he's another blue guy, but he's a different color blue than usual.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you guys. Do you know what body model he's from? Is it copied from Skeletor or from... Because he's got... Doesn't he have the little fins on his wrists?
Do you have the picture? I can tell you. I didn't actually... Unfortunately, I didn't have the toy. Yeah, so that would be... Yeah, he's like full-on Skeletor.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, he's got the web feet, which they use to give him more balance, I'm assuming.
Yeah, dude, that's Skeletor with a different head. That's
yeah.
And they like put an extra drop of dye in the
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We need two more blue drops in there. Make him darker.
The unique thing with him was the grappling hook. I mean, that's what everything I've read, and I asked my brother Lynn about him. He's like, yeah, it was the grappling hook. That's totally what caught my eye.
Yep. Other than the grappling hook, it came with that blaster rifle.
Yes.
And that's like an iconic...
It is.
And I don't remember him being the only one that had that. Didn't someone else come with one identical to that?
He had... Here, can I see it again real quick?
Yeah.
Did it come in the weapons pack or something?
I'm pretty sure... No, I was going to say, I thought that was Modulok that had that one. It looks like his, but I don't think that's his.
Yeah, but that's like an iconic
design.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The two-handled, and you cannot put it in two hands.
No. You cannot. It's like, what do you want to do?
No swivel arm battle grip for He-Man.
Definitely not.
Because he had the power punch, right?
Yep.
And then he had the grappling hook was kind of his, and then he had the gun as well.
Right.
Let's start, before we even talk about the mech and his action features, can we just talk about how incredibly awesome grappling hooks were in the 80s?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, a grappling hook, it seemed unreal that you would get to play with a grappling hook. Like, oh, really? It's real. It's a real grappling
Let's
hook.
Do this together. Everybody listening and recording right now, everybody raise your hand if you ever wanted a grappling hook as a kid. Boom.
Who tried to make their own grappling hook?
Me.
Oh, yeah. I lived on a farm and out in the country, and we had a bunch of trees down by the river and other places. And so I would be looking for anything that you could jimmy rig together.
Nice. Totally.
And try to throw it around the branch and get it exactly around the branch so that it hooks just right. Yes. Like in every first take in every movie, and it always goes right the first time. And I'm out there, how did they do this?
That's right.
Indiana Jones did it without the hook.
Well, that's true.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to flip my whip.
So what was peak grappling hook memory then? Batman in the original movie, 89? Do you think after that, grappling hook love just went down?
I must have been. It was like, well, I can't afford that. He's too rich. So I don't know. That's weird, though. Yeah. Why it did die off.
But it was such a neat... I mean, if you watch a ninja movie... They always had a folding grappling hook, and it every time was like a pop. Like, yes.
It's like, I knew he was going to have that.
So him coming with the grappling hook was pretty incredible.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. It was just the best.
So I got to ask you, because I actually tried making a grappling hook too as a kid. So we're going to compare. So what did you use as your...
Oh, gosh. I tried several of them. You know, I had to find the rope.
Right.
And the difficult thing is you have to have a thinner rope.
Yeah.
Because you had a thick rope. It just does not throw well. You found that out real quick.
Yep.
So you try to find some fairly thin nylon rope. I think I did end up using some really thick fishing string.
Okay.
Like some 100-pound test.
Nice.
And then I think it was just what actually ended up working really good was a horseshoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because then it was heavy.
Yeah.
And then you just try to loop it around the branch twice.
Yeah.
And then catch.
A horseshoe and fishing line.
Yeah.
So you could get a concussion and slice your fingers off at the same time.
Yeah, because that's true. Because
I'm just going to get to that. Then you can't swing.
I was going to say, you try to like pull yourself up on those things. That ain't happening.
And have your dad's like leather work gloves.
Yeah. I think I ended up, I started with the fishing wire just because it was lighter.
Yeah.
But then I went to some nylon rope. But yeah. A horseshoe, I think, worked.
So
about
we tried
best.
It once. Me and my brother, we tried it once, and we used twine.
Yeah. Oh, baling twine. Yeah.
Baling twine and a yard dart. If you remember.
yard dart.
Upside down
or
right side up.
Right side up.
Oh, nice.
And so we were like chucking that thing over it. It flew perfectly, but then it was like run away.
it
wouldn't want to swing. It just wanted to come over and like come straight down and try to impale you. You know.
Well, was it the old school yard dart with the steel?
Okay. Yes, it was a big old lead ones. End on it.
Yeah. So now Carl, you can get back to Carl's. Okay, now you can puncture your your brain. Or
that's right.
It still burned your hand. Pretty good.
It was so cool, but then we were like, we almost died, so we should probably stop this.
There was a point. I think when we were playing the Ninja Turtles role-playing game, so I would have been in junior high around that age, that we kind of had an argument, like a table argument, whether or not grappling hooks were real or not. Because a dude at our table refused to believe that they worked. And for the same reason you guys are, because he tried to make one and it didn't work. And he's like, I refuse to believe this is such a thing. It is something that is made up for ninja movies and cartoons.
Sure.
And the rest of us are like, no, dude, they're real and they're amazing.
Who has one?
Like, as soon as I get a job, I'm going to have like a house full of them.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to do my job is going to be making and selling and distribution of grappling
hooks are us.
On the roof, right. Just so I can use the grappling hook.
That's right. I don't even take a car to work anymore. I just grapple to work. Oh, man.
So now instead of getting to the second floor of your house, you have a grappling hook?
That's right. Well, see, that was the other thing that sucked about it. Because, like, if you did get it to catch, like, sweet.
Now how do I get it down?
Strength. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, but you don't have the strength to pull yourself up on this tiny little string.
I think I was trying to swing. Because it was on, there's a tree hanging here. And there's kind of a ledge. And you could swing. But then I would swing and I let go. Now it's stuck on the branch.
Yeah.
So not to spoil too much or drag this further away from He-Man, but as you guys know, I'm writing and finished up my first fantasy novel, and there's a scene in there where one of my heroes, I involve a grappling hook.
Nice.
Again, because it's so freaking awesome, right? So, but I came up with that same problem. He grapples down from something. Then what do? Do you leave it dangle there? And then he knows where you were. So I had to come up with this plot device to have him be able to detach his rope, and it was ridiculous. But it was just one of those things where I sat there for a minute. I'm like, how do they get these down?
Right.
Like, is there just, if you go through New York City, are there just like in the bad neighborhoods, grappling hooks like all around the ledges of these ropes?
Like all the way around the banks and everything. There's just grappling hooks
ninjas
everywhere.
Ninjas just running roughshod through here, leaving their grappling hooks around.
Oh, man.
Cleaning up the trash. They're just grappling hooks everywhere.
Oh, geez.
That's why I'm going to run on a platform of like, I want to recycle and reuse and reduce grappling hook waste.
That's right.
Is that like a PSA?
Yep.
There you go.
Reuse your grappling hooks.
That would be funny, though, if you think about it, like having like a PSA or something like that, or like in Gotham, like, hey, Batman, knock it off.
Right.
Like, we got just your trash everywhere, stuck in walls.
We just repurposed it.
That's right.
Yeah.
just like throwing stars and stuff everywhere. Yeah. Oh, man.
We built
that's
the
hilarious.
New stadium seats for PS101 for their new track and field. We built the stadiums out of like recycled batarangs.
Lovingly made from Batman's battering on the back.
That's
hilarious. We had to grind down the sharpness a little, but
how long if you had this figure, how long did you have it before it got knotted? I know we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Before the string got knotted.
Well,
and
I never had him.
Okay.
See, and I didn't own it originally until we were in college. For those of you who don't know, Lee and I actually went to college together. So I kind of went on this weird buying. This was probably my first big nerd like nostalgia run. Because, like, G.I. Joe figures, Star Wars figures, I always sort of had them. Mm-hmm. But then He-Man, I never really had a lot of them. My friends had them. My brother had them. And I always coveted them. And so then I realized, like, I work at Subway. I can afford to buy stuff now. And so I would buy them at flea markets and whatnot. And they were dirt cheap. There wasn't really a lot of nostalgia pricing yet. And I bought Web Store complete and functional. And as I was telling these guys, within, like, the first day that I had them, I got them to work once. And then I knotted the string, and it was worthless.
That was it.
Yeah. It was a really fine string.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was really thin. So you kind of get to the fishing line with the story. We had him. We got in. Now, my brother's the one that mainly collected them, but I still played with him occasionally. And we got in a little later in the game because we grew up in western Nebraska. And as you know, small towns are about a year to 2 years behind.
Right.
So, but we got him, and I would have to ask him, and I don't know if Lynn remembers or not, but I know that it got knotted really quickly, and then eventually the grappling hook itself broke off from the string.
Yeah.
So it was just dangling string.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly precise, might not be the right word, but I'm going to use it. It's a precise mechanism for a toy.
Yeah.
Because it has to wind, it has to retract. And it's like, what were you guys thinking?
Right.
Like, you're giving these to 7-year-olds. Like,
yeah.
How is someone not going to choke with this around their neck? But one thing I thought was always interesting, too, is they didn't make a spring-loaded delivery for it.
Right.
Yeah, you couldn't shoot it. And to me, that's a no-brainer, seems like. But
that's true.
But it just kind of hung
on. Well, right, and there was toys back then that you could shoot stuff out of. So
probably more so than, maybe not now because I think they've gone the other way with it. But there was that glory days when you had Shogun robots that would give kids black eyes, you know?
Yeah, I remember.
And so they weren't as, I guess they weren't as aware or cautious of litigation or injury or what have you. But
now imagine... talking about perfect figure here. Now imagine Trapjaw having the arm with a shooting grappling hook that could then tie through his helmet and then slide down with that.
You know, why didn't they team those two guys?
That'd make more sense.
We can hold off on that maybe for a little bit. But I mean, if you're going to make those parts of their toy, like, buddy, I'll throw this. And then you slide on it with your head helmet thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wasn't it in the commercial? The web store commercial, I think they had him show him hooking it and then actually being able to pull his whole weight up.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know that we ever got him to do that. I don't remember.
I think it worked at a weird counter thing, like a yo-yo. And I think that's part of the reason when I say it's precise. It was more than just like strung through it. You could pull it and it would spin and it would unwind and then feed from the top. And so... it would actually pull him along that line, and so as you tugged at the bottom of it, it would have him pull his own weight up.
Okay,
but it wasn't easy, and in the minute you let go of it, inevitably it would coil, and that's when they would knot. And then if the knot got in that mechanism, it just jammed the whole thing up.
That's probably why it never lasted very long.
Right? Yeah, it's an interesting design. The backpack that it mounts to, for those of you who aren't familiar. It's one of the kind, I think Clawful has one like that, where you have to snap it, the front and back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fisto has that as well.
And instead of being like the strap, like He-Man's, and it's amazing if anybody owns those and are not broken.
Right.
But how do those tabs not break the first time you squeeze them together?
Yeah.
I build Gundam robots, and every time I see a mechanism like that, I'm like, that's a one and done. Like, if you don't get it the first try, it's broken.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It just seems like a careless design, but what do they care? I guess they
just sell you break one. It and go buy another one.
Go
kids.
Buy another one.
Yep. Yep.
Then it has the Black Widow symbol on the front of it. Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool.
That's crazy. I mean, they went all in on the spider thing, except for the fact that he has two arms.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't until the 2000 series that they, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the cartoon.
Well,
the
iteration of, and I have from the vintage to the classic. Mm-hmm. Gives him, and then you even to the 2000, much more spider-like.
Yeah,
from the vintage to the classic to the 2000 reboot.
Correct. Yeah. So the classics was like a iteration of both. So they took both characters from the vintage to the 2000s and kind of formed them together. So he's got the extra legs and stuff, and that is so cool. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, the classics version of him is so wicked.
Oh, they are.
And then, I want Jeff to look at his face a second of the original, because I have a question, and I know Jeff hasn't probably had it in his hands as much as the other rest of us.
Well, and the eyes on him on the vintage or classic versus vintage is more prominent on the vintage. The classics.
Yeah.
They should have named those better.
Yeah.
So do you think that's Mantena's mold, the lower half?
Oh,
because he had that weird double mouth thing going on too, except for was his mouth.
But his was open like a circle. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't quite understand how fangs work. No. I think.
No.
Yeah. Every time I chew, it bites my eyes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, because the 2000s. I don't know if you have a picture.
Unfortunately, no.
The 2000s. They actually didn't have a toy of him.
Is he another statue?
Right. So they came out with the Mecha or NECA, I think. And so they came out with a statue of him, but they never did. They were going to release him as a toy, but the 2000s version of the cartoon, which we'll talk about in a second, but he was wicked scary looking.
Yeah.
That figure line was weird because like they look really good. And you'd think that it'd be like one of those like forgettable things, but you know, I could feasibly see a time when people burn out on paying all this money for the classics.
Right.
When they go back and try to gather those up because they're neat looking figures. So much so that when the line ended, they sold those molds to Mecha for those statues. Like, because they were radical looking figures.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of them were Probably a little overzealous with the way that they looked, you know.
But they were for the times.
For the time, yeah. It was perfect.
Fisto was our best example, yes. Probably, right?
Like, yep. Fisto and probably Trapjaw.
He had like a locomotive for an arm.
Yeah, and... yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was crazy. But anyways, no, cool toy, though.
Did the classic figure question on that, did it have the backpack, too, and the spring-loaded?
It would not have.
I didn't think so.
It probably didn't. I may be wrong, but more than likely it would not have because okay. They just really didn't put features.
I couldn't.
Now, this one that you have features. A picture of here, is that the classic Filmation, or is that the classic?
I don't know.
That's here, let me see it. I can tell
the
you.
The color palette looks like Filmation.
Yeah.
But of course, he has a weird color anyway.
No, this would just be regular classics. Yeah, because the Filmation one wouldn't have quite as much detail. Yeah, they're just like in the paint scheme like and smoother. Stuff. It's just real like two or three paints, you know, and that's it. So, yeah. Either way, sorry, we're going on a rant there, but no,
it's all fair,
overall. It's all good. Overall, though, I think toy wise, I never had him, but man, he was a wicked cool guy. Yeah, if I would have saw him in the store, I would have bought him.
He was a fun figure.
You guys brought this up, and I'll let you roll with it, but missed opportunities. You know, we talked about how Rio Blast should have been the one that had Stridor, right?
Yes.
So today we saw Spidor.
Yes, that's right.
Kind of a missed opportunity.
Why they didn't do that?
I don't know why they didn't do that.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is like, is he because he's part of a spider clan
race,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he's like almost like cannibalism or something like that. Like you don't see us riding each other in
cultural appropriation.
You don't ride your own. Yeah. Can't ride your own race.
Or, nice.
That's right.
You can't turn your race into your own vehicle.
That's right. Nice.
That's true. I wonder if Webster's watching Skeletor ride Spidor and just a little tear comes.
Yeah, a little tear comes.
I need something scary that will just be reviled by everything that lives. How about right. a spider? And like, dude, I'm right here.
That's so funny.
Do you? My brother is going around and trying to collect all of the original, or not all the original, but some of his favorite original figures, and so he was able to get Webster, and we'll get into it later. But the mini comic that is included with it. Doesn't have Webster in it.
Yeah,
that's just thought it was kind of weird.
That's weird. I always assumed that the comic that came with the guy was the showcase for that figure. But now that we've gone back and read the comics, not all
it's
the figures
not always,
were featured. So
not always
it's
way.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of them actually had a featurette comic, though. You know, a lot of them were just like, well, you know, they weren't really even featured at all in any comics. So we're just going to give you Tila's, you know. So, but some of them, though, like, Webster, I mean, he was in a number of them.
He was, but so. I asked my brother because he sent me a picture of all of the ones that he has so mm-hmm. far, and he said no, he's not even in that one
that's crazy. That's it. Well, let's just go ahead and use that as a segue. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, moving on to the comics. Comics, the little small books. So, Lee, obviously, you've done probably the most research.
Well, I don't know.
That's the way that we roll here.
I have it all printed out so I can remember it because I can't remember anything from 2 minutes ago, hardly.
So, what I recall, he was in three mini comics, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, and he was in the UK newspapers or whatever quite a bit from when I was doing the research on.
That's the comic strip?
Yeah, the comic strip. Yep. Thank you. I'm going to get the right terminology one of these days.
I knew
the
what you meant.
The comic things from the newspapers.
You know. Have you guys read many of those comic strips?
I have not. I actually bought
the
book.
You bought the book,
yeah.
I got the whole book.
I bought the book as well. It doesn't have the UK stuff in it, I don't think.
Oh, but, really? But no, I got the... It's a
is
UK.
Is it the UK one?
Yeah.
So maybe it is the same one. I don't recall mine saying UK. It was just the newspaper strips, but maybe I'll have to look at it again. The thing that struck me with there was like how they represented the characters were more frightening.
Yeah.
So like that's the first time I really thought Grizzlor was awesome.
Yeah.
And Webster is the same way. He is just downright creepy.
It was more dramatic in those comic strips.
Yeah.
Definitely
the UK.
More.
Yeah. The UK is just a lot. Not even just Motu, but a lot of other stuff. They could get away with a lot more.
Yes.
Over there than they could here.
Yeah.
Because I've read some Marvel comics in the Marvel UK. Is always a little different than the Marvel here from back in the day.
Right. I wonder how many people, because I've read a few of them, and they're pretty, like, they're not for a lowbrow kid, you know what I mean? It's like, I wonder how many kids in the UK were actually reading those comic strips, or if it was more like, you know, college people or something like that, or I don't know.
I don't know what because they sold the figures over there too. I wonder what the figure sales were like over there compared to.
We have a lot of UK listeners, so any UK listeners, please chime in and come to our Facebook page and let us know. Like, were you reading that as a kid or as a adult,
did you,
or didn't
did you even
know?
Get the mini comics?
That's right. I wonder.
I don't. That's interesting. That's a good question. I suppose. I don't know.
You know, I don't. Yeah, you would think so. I don't know. Maybe they didn't.
Or maybe there was,
because you know the packaging, like, I mean, obviously they speak English over there, but like when they went international, the packaging would be different.
They barely speak English.
Yeah.
Let's go right.
That's funny. That's so funny.
So which three was he in?
So he was in the Rock People to the Rescue, and he is teamed up with he's teamed up with Cobra Khan, which you'll see him teamed up with Cobra Khan a lot.
A lot, yeah.
For some reason, they paired him together. And then he is also in Clash of Arms, which I read that one because we had Whiplash.
Yes.
And that's the one that came with Whiplash. He's only in the first few panels, first few pages. Same thing with the Rock People. But I love this one just because it's just so full of action. You've got Fisto being kidnapped and taken to this arena, and he has to battle Clawful and Whiplash.
So that's the one where I'm pretty sure that's the one that comes with Fisto, isn't it?
I
believe we talked about this comic. This is the comic we talked about for Fisto.
Yes.
And this is the one, this is the one that where he gets the He-Man just goes off on the the rails and blasts the dude in the face.
So He-Man comes to the rescue of Fisto because Fisto's taking out most of them. But then at the end, he finally gets beaten up by Whiplash. He-Man shows up and just blasts the guy next to Skeletor
just
in the face.
Zap! And like the look of Skeletor's face is so epic. He's like, what? Did you see that?
Yes.
He's like, what?
And I think I read that was the only comic that He-Man uses a laser in.
Oh, is
what
it
I
really?
Read.
Yeah, because they're like, keep the guns away from him.
Yeah. He can't be trusted.
That's so
but
funny.
He's trying to read, and then Stridor, of course, takes him to the arena, and Stridor has to kick the wall down
and all
sort of stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's quite the comic.
And then he's in the last one is the Temple of Chaos, I think is
Temple
what it's called.
Is it the Darkness? Because Temple of Darkness is the one. This says Eye of the Storm.
Oh, Eye of the Storm. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Eye of the
Temple
Storm.
Of Darkness. I just looked it up. That's the one that came with him.
Okay.
And he's not in it.
That's right. Yeah, that's Temple
that's
of Darkness
so
is the one that came with it, but he wasn't in it.
What a weird choice.
So weird.
Maybe it was just done. Like maybe production schedules, you know, like this figure's gonna ship whether you write that comic now or next week.
Right.
But Eye of the Storm has Snout Spout in it, which I thought was unique. And then they were playing a game. The comic quote is, he's playing a lively game of Glow Disc. And that's where Snout Spout was jealous because he couldn't play Glow Disc with He-Man and Extendar.
That's so funny.
We're playing Glow Disc together.
Glow Disc. Remember playing Glow Disc as a kid?
Yeah. So I think the Mega Clan needs to get together and play a lively game of
we
Glow
should.
Disc together.
We should.
And then I'll just sit and pout off to the side. I wish I could play with Jeff and
Eddie. Oh, man.
But you have Snout Spout and Extendar both in that one. I think it was later.
But no Webster.
But no Webster's
so
in it.
Weird.
It's,
oh, okay.
It. He
in
is
that
in
one.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the one he was in.
Gotcha.
The other one Carl's talking about is the one that came with him, but he's not anywhere in the comic.
Gotcha.
So weird, such a weird thing.
But in this one, the Eye of the Storm, he's a thief, and that's kind of the common theme. He's sneaking around, he can get in and out of places really easy, and that's how he's portrayed even in the cartoon, which we'll get to later. But in a lot of the Clash of Arms, he's just at the very beginning. He uses his hook to wrap around the leg of Stridor. But I noticed in one thing in that Clash of Arms. Clawful is, I guess, kind of the leader of the gang. So you have Triclops, Clawful, Webster, and Jitsu.
Yeah.
And Clawful says, Jitsu, Webster, go for Fisto. We'll go for the horse. And then you see Webster going for the horse.
Whoops.
Whoops. Sorry.
That's so funny. Which one's the horse?
Which one's the horse? So he goes
I guess this
horse.
Is Fisto.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird you mention those guys because I do remember Webster sort of being related to Clawful as far as like when he came out. I'm looking here. They're Wave 3.
Wave 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
84, I think is when the figure came out.
Yep.
Wave 3, yeah. Yeah, 84. And so, Jitsu, Cobra Khan, Webster, Whiplash, Clawful.
Oh.
And then And then Rotan.
Rotan, yeah.
Which Rotan I would have thought would have been out before them.
It seems like it would have been wave two at least, but yeah. It must have been wave three.
So this
wave three was like their hot wave.
Wave three, I mean, yeah. The weapons pack, Snake Mountain, Dragon Walker, Road Ripper, Stridor,
yeah.
Orko,
yeah.
Fisto, Buzz Off, Battle Armor, He-Man, Prince Adam. Wow, Prince Adam?
Yeah, he came out way late. Yep.
Did anybody buy that?
I did.
I suppose if you're putting Orko out, you got to do Prince Adam.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, now that you mention that then, Carl, that's why this comic book featured virtually all of those.
Yeah.
Well, they had to. Yeah. They were really, well, like I said, they were really, that was when they were hot.
What? Okay. Wave Jitsu seems hot. Like it was way later, but I suppose he would have had to have come out with Fist, though, because they keep them together. But it's weird that Web Store didn't really have an analog.
It is weird.
You know, I guess Buzz Off. Maybe because he's an insect.
I wonder if it. Yeah, I wonder that if it had something to do with the fact that they were trying to just crank out stuff so fast, and it was probably easier to come up with a design of a person and then make a toy of it and then kick that out than it was to go through the whole writing process and color. You know,
right.
Doing the comic, it had to have been because they did that with how many characters, you know. And like I said, right then, that's when they're hot. Wave three was their biggest wave, and they were just kicking out people left and right. And then wave four was like, we're out of ideas.
We're grasping.
Pure cocaine.
And then wave four.
Yeah, it was just off the rails. But
that's bananas.
It is, but
yeah, because he came out before Moss Man.
Did he really?
They have
really?
Moss Man as wave four in 1985.
I didn't know that.
Really? I would have thought Moss Man would have been like wave two.
Because he was just basically a clone of Beast
I
Man.
I thought for sure he would have been Flock. Wave two.
Yeah, because Moss Man and Stinko are both wave four.
Really? Interesting.
Weird.
I wonder what wave Buzz Off was then.
Buzz Off was the same as...
As Web Store.
Web Store, so that was three.
Which is weird. You know, it's... I would love to see the finances on what these figures cost Mattel per unit to produce.
Correct, yeah.
Because Web Store, the figure probably costs next to nothing since they basically just had to design the head.
Yeah.
But then the mechanism.
Yeah, that's probably where they put all the money at.
So
you're probably right. So they have a budget for each toy. And so they have
for
to
the
decide
figure and then a budget for the gimmick.
And Buzz Off, his look was his gimmick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and his wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of his looks, I guess.
Yeah, it was. But you got to think of where they spend the most money.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So that's probably, so say it's like, say they have to spend $1.36 per figure, you know. So like Web Store, it's like, well, just put a different head on Skeletor. All right, so then give them the better armor, which is the hard plastic, and then we'll do
a little mechanism.
Stuff, and that brings us up to $1.35. Okay, we're good.
And throw in that sweet Hunter Orange rifle.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yes. That's right.
But in the comic, I don't know if in the comic book if you read him, but he always seems to be teamed up with somebody, but he's really not in any of them a lot. He's not featured.
Kind of,
he's in a few
guy.
Pages, but he's not prominent.
They never really go to him on
correct.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because on the Clash of Arms one, for example, Whiplash is kind of the main.
Yeah.
Well, I know they have a lot of them, but he's the one that takes down Fisto, so I guess he's kind of the main one, other than He-Man zapping the guy. So,
yeah.
Which you never would have gotten away with in the cartoon, but they got away with a lot in the comics.
Well, I'd say probably the most lore of Web Store is probably from the cartoons, right?
I would say so, because they really don't flesh out much other than he's kind of a thief. That seems to be the theme in the one of the comics is kind of the Skeletor hires him to go steal something.
Was he in the He-Man cartoon or the She-Ra cartoon? Or
he
both?
Was in both.
He was in both. Yeah.
But he was Team Skeletor, not Team Hordak, though.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. He's part of the evil warriors, not the Horde. Yeah. So, well, let's use that as a springboard.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into that cartoon. Le cartoon. I love. Usually, this is where Eddie goes on his French accent.
Has anybody got a good French accent?
Eddie has a good one, man. It's crazy good.
But too bad this is the last episode.
Yeah, I know. Too bad, Eddie. Don't get a shut off anymore.
maybe in the spinoff show.
We have a French mega. That's
French. So funny. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Oh man. So the cartoon. So he was in from what I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, three cartoons
mm-hmm.
episodes, and then was that including a She-Ra episode or another?
No. So okay. he was in all of season two. He was in episode one. So okay. I'll give it here.
Sure.
1983, season two, episode one, The Cat and the Spider.
Yep.
1983, season two, episode 14, Disappearing Dragon. 1983, season two, episode 29, Journey to Stone City. Which was actually written by J. Michael Straczynski, which is kind of cool.
He was in cartoons yeah. long before he was a figure then.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
yeah. So yeah. the cartoon, then the figure. Good point.
Yeah. But he was figured in the cartoon as kind of a smart... We were kind of joking around about this, but he was a smart dude
yeah.
in the cartoon. And so he was... All the other evil guys are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And then they really featured him to be really smart. And so, Carl, you were joking around about...
Yeah, all the ugly guys seem to be the smart ones. So you got, like, Modulok, who's a scientist, and you have Webstor, who's, like, a brilliant mathematician and scientist. And they both... And matter of fact, I think when we were looking up the research, it might have been from one of the German audio dramas, they talked about how Skeletor had Webstor design a trap for He-Man that was the ultimate right. trap. And He-Man tricked Webstor into stating that, you know, there must be some way to get out of it and gave him enough hint to get out of it. And so when he broke out of it, Webstor, like, acknowledged that he had been beaten and let He-Man walk scot-free.
Yeah, like out of respect.
I guess you got wow. me this time. He's yep. a genius.
Yeah, so he's like, yep, you
And that was in an
it,
audio so. Drama?
I think that was in an audio drama, audio
yeah.
drama.
Okay, yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
We got to get a hold of those.
I haven't yes. listened to any of those. I'll have to find that.
Someone has German. To have.
Oh, well, I know.
If we could find a translation. That's
right. A dubbed version.
Yeah, if we could find a translation of the script.
It would be.
It's up to us to record
Even if they, I wonder, yeah, no kidding. I wonder if they have it on YouTube or something like that, where it's got the, you know.
Subtitles.
That'd be really
Or the subtitles on, yeah.
That'd be really
Yeah, but there's some weird thing where you can't be smart in Eternia and not be just a troll.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that's what they're like compensating.
Look at Gwildor. You know, he was like yeah. that brilliant inventor. And he's
yeah,
like
a wart face.
Yeah.
And 3 foot tall. And
he's handsome in his race.
That's right. He is, yeah. I'm the Brad Pitt of my race. That's funny.
In the episode, The Cat and the Spider, went back and watched all these, but they have some funny, he's very quippy, Webstor
yes.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, you know, Skeletor is saying, where are you at, Webstor? And he answers, I'm right here, Boney. And he has he's the voice of Prince Adam and He-Man.
Yeah,
the,
so it's John voice. Irwin, yeah.
So he has kind of that whiny voice.
Right.
And
yeah, they said that he actually did, John Irwin used the same voice that he did for Squinch the Widget.
So oh, okay.
I guess that's another character in there. Hey, classics figures, you know, why aren't there Squinch the Widget?
That's what you need.
But yeah, so I guess that must have been like another character.
And in that episode, it talks about, it's kind of funny, they point out a thing with King Randor mm-hmm. as taking the statue from the cat people. And she says in there that you conquered my people and took all of our stuff. So it kind of points out in there that King Randor is a conqueror, which you don't, even yeah. with puffy sleeves, I guess you can still
that's right.
conquer
well, that's the thing.
Right.
lands.
And then along those same lines, you know, as far as tied to Eternia's past, you know, Webstor, I didn't know this until this morning when I was doing a crash course on it, that his people existed long ago.
Yes.
So he's yeah. actually from Eternia. He's not an alien. He's not from another.
Didn't come right. from another dimension.
Right. But he's sort of like the last of his kind.
Yeah.
Yes.
They woke up and he was buried under Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
What all is under
or
Castle
Snake
Grayskull?
Mountain.
Or Snake Mountain.
Snake
yes,
Mountain.
Snake Mountain. Yeah. 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 What all is under there?
Right, yeah, exactly. You just have a spider come crawling out. Like, what else is down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, guys, keep it down.
That's right. Yeah, keep it down. Stop your fighting. I've already been through this before.
And then even in Disappearing Dragons, the episode there, there's Webstor's quippy with Cobra Khan, calls him Snake Puss. And and then Skeletor is calling him names, Bugface, Spider Brains.
Yeah.
And they're just name calling right
That's
and left.
Funny.
It's
That's
just
awesome.
Funny
That's
how
awesome.
they do all that.
He's not subservient. He's just like
right. Skeletor's like, I like you. You remind me of someone. That's funny.
And they have Grandemere, of course, in the Disappearing Dragon, which I kind of forgot how many he's in. Grandemere's in
well,
several.
You do know that, like the dark blue skinned. People are smarter than the light blue skin.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Good point.
We're starting race wars on Eternia.
Yeah. The blue skins versus the light
that's
skins.
Right. Yeah, but it wasn't until the 2000 series when they, again, we always talk about this, they really go
deep get into
on
the lore.
A story.
Yeah.
And he had an awesome, awesome history.
Mm-hmm. He's in 5 episodes from the 2002. So it's one called Snake Pit, Council of Evil, Part 1 and 2, The Last Stand, and then Web of Evil, I think, pretty much featured him.
Right, yeah. So the first one, they just showed him. He was just kind of in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I guess like a lot of people were confused. Like, is that Web Store? Is that just some spider they found? Because it featured him under Snake Mountain. And they're like, is that just some spider or what? And mm-hmm. So a lot of people were like hoping it was Web Store, and it was. So like the internet was set ablaze.
Set ablaze in 2002.
That's right.
Because it was under Snake Mountain, but under Snake Mountain in 2002 series, it was the Snake Men as well, right?
Correct, yeah.
So, yeah, like Carl
there's
said.
There's a lot of stuff going on in there.
What else is going on? But I think, the origin was the Snake, or not Snake people, the Arachians or whatever they're called were there. And then the Snake people took over and pretty much exterminated all the spider people except for him.
Correct.
I think is how the lore goes.
That's right.
And he was also in a Christmas special, but I think everybody was in the He-Man.
Yeah, I think everybody Christmas was in the special.
I think he was just in the background. He wasn't a prominent figure.
It's like the intro to The Simpsons when they pan across and they try to squeeze in all the regular people.
Yes.
Like then real fast. Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
And I think it was in the She-Ra Princess of Power episode that he was in that he teams up again with Cobra Khan, breaks into the palace to help Skeletor kidnap kidnap Adora. But then Queen Marlena mentions in that episode that Adora has been kidnapped again. So I was like, well, how many times has she been kidnapped?
Jeez, get with it, Adora.
So, lock your window.
Let's make her She-Ra.
So I don't know. Do you guys know when she was kidnapped prior in the cartoon, I wonder? Because that was kind of funny that I was watching it and I happened to catch that. I'm like, well, when was she kidnapped again?
Who knows? That's really weird.
Yeah, maybe one of the listeners know.
I don't know.
When she was kidnapped before, but... But yeah, I thought the cartoon, especially the 2002, just like you said, it's a lot darker.
You're right.
But a lot more meaty, I guess, for lack of a better word, on each character. It's not so one and done.
Right.
But still, that's kind of the fun of the original one. It's a one and done. Yeah. You have all these little quippy things that Skeletor and Webster and Skeletor and everybody else back and forth.
Why would Merman even be there?
That's right.
They're in a desert.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what I liked about it was that which I think they missed the mark on the filmation, is they really played on the two bugs being against each other. Like Buzz Off and Web Store were like sworn enemies. You know,
yes.
They're two different kinds of insects.
Insects.
I'm like, duh. You know, that was such a good idea.
Yes.
Down that road.
In the Stone City, I don't know if you back on the 83 one, the attack track has a
attack
sense
track,
of humor.
Yes.
This is all snippy. And then one thing that was really funny was Skeletor. They were trying to get that device called the Lifebringer to bring the stone people back to
that's
life.
Right.
And He-Man says, hey, give me the... He's talking to Skeletor. He's up in the castle or something. And He-Man says, I want the Lifebringer. And Skeletor looks at Evil-Lyn. Is that the Lifebringer? Evil-Lyn's like, yes. And so Skeletor looks back out the window towards He-Man. No, He-Man, haven't seen it. Don't know where it's at.
I didn't know
it's,
that.
Yeah, so go back. It's episode 229. It's... J. Michael Straczynski wrote it, so maybe that's why.
Is that it right there? Yep. Never seen it. Don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. It's exactly what he did. Nope. Don't know where it's at. Haven't seen it.
I wonder if it was written that way or if that was ad-libbed by Alan Oppenheimer. Because he did that a lot, I guess. Yeah, he used to ad-lib quite a bit.
It might have been, but it was hilarious. And then they have the whole attack track. It's comical as well.
That's so funny.
The whole episode is just funny. I kind of forgot how... kind of humorous.
Some of those are actually really well written. Yeah, as a kid, I don't remember them being that funny. I don't remember laughing at all. I just thought it was just pure awesome, you know. But as an adult, I watched them like, actually, that was pretty funny.
It was. So
I like how, this is a little bit off of the cartoon, but I like how the classics series, they try to tie all the lore together and stuff. And so I think that his background story on the back card of the box. I'm just going to go ahead and read it really quick. But so it says his real name is Arrhenius, son of Rachnus, one of the last remaining members of an ancient Eternian race of spider warriors called the Arachna. Webstor was awoken from hibernation beneath Snake Mountain and occasionally allies himself with Skeletor. In ancient times, the Arachna were an advanced dominant race until driven underground by the Snake Men. Arrhenius retains much of the knowledge of his people, and while seemingly savage, is an expert mathematician and strategist, as well as an accomplished escape artist. He often arms himself with a grappling hook, fast pack, and uses his climbing power to escape capture.
With exclamation point.
Exclamation capture. Point. That's right. Capture. That's right. So I really wish they would have dove more onto how Buzz Off and stuff and his group of people,
yeah,
you know, were fighting and whatnot, you know, and how they're enemies. Because I think that there's just so much there, you know.
Maybe they were sworn enemies.
Yeah.
But then it's funny that his Webster's people were wiped out.
Yeah.
But Buzz Off's people were still around.
Right. Yeah.
Or did they go in any of the lore with Buzz Off?
Yeah, they did. Because, so I know, like, with the Arenids or whatever, their clan obviously flourished. So they won. And in the, I think it was in the Great Unrest or whatever, it was like hinted towards that.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
And then basically the arachnid folks, or I forget what they're
Arachians.
Arachians or whatever. So they are always trying to go after the special sauce of the Arenids. So yes. They're honey or whatever. And so, because I guess they had like kind of special powers.
Yeah, it makes them super strong. Because in the Web of Evil, Webster gets a hold of it and he hulks up.
Yeah, so that's why he was always going after. So he's probably just like, I'm just going to lay down here and wait 2,000 years. I'll come back and get some then. No, I don't know, but... Either way, I think there's a lot. And what's kind of fun is our good friend Lee Bachman. So when I asked him to draw Buzz Off and Man at Arms together, he did that. But then he had them fighting up against Webster.
Okay.
And so that is a heck of a picture. If you haven't seen that, if you haven't seen that, look up Art of Lee Bachman. He's got his he's got that as a print that he sells. But it is a very cool picture. So he's got Webster in the background, and they're basically caught up in
the web. Yes.
And man, what a cool picture. A lot of detail in that thing.
Like I said, in the cartoon, they don't play off much of that arachnid side of him in the original. No. But by the 2000, they really embrace that.
Yeah.
Are you guys surprised they didn't make him a female?
You know, yeah. that's kind of good point. Yep. See, and that's
Spider Woman seems to be like the standard.
Right. It's funny because the working title that they had before Webster was Black Widow. So that's what they were calling him. And when I think of Black Widow, I always think of a woman.
Woman, yeah.
Yeah. And so they totally could have went that route. That would have actually been pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was a I don't know.
They could have went. We really want to make this Black Widow, but we also just want to use Skeletor's body mold.
You're right.
Let's see. Let's make
Tila's mold. Yep. Of course, when did Tila? Oh, she came out in Wave 1, right?
Yeah, Tila's and Evil Lynn.
So they could have easily repainted one of those and probably have done it.
What could have been?
No kidding.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Jeez.
I just want to interject this. Do yourself a favor and look up the packaging for Webster. Because whether it's the classics, the vintage, or the vintage 3-pack that he was a part of, shirtless in all three.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They didn't even sell him with the armor on. They didn't even want to risk
it. They didn't want to put it on. Yeah.
It's on you, kid.
There
it
so
is.
Funny.
Yeah, there it is.
It's in the upper right-hand corner. Yeah, he doesn't have it on, so you have to. I suppose it's cheaper just to, as it's going down the assembly line. Let's throw the figure in. We'll throw the little parts in, and then we'll put them in. Funny.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of that stuff was sourced separately.
It could have been.
We have our backpack people working on it.
Could have been.
But it's so funny because it's like even in the 3-pack, you know, and even with the classics, which I'm sure is some kind of subtle nod because everything they do is, but just sure enough, just shirtless.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe like showing off his chest.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. He's like the Matthew McConaughey of spiders.
Yeah. Because when
Skeletor wakes up and looks out the window at Snake Mountain, and Webster's out in the yard with two giant ropes, just
crossfitting it up.
I've been out here for an hour.
Yeah. Jumping over milk crates. Sup, Skullface?
What's up, Skullface?
Flipping tires from attack track.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. Well, see, that's funny you point that out, Carl, because when I looked at the picture that Lynn sent me, I was like, well, maybe it's not on card. But then, yeah, you're right. He didn't come with
the... There was the little plastic pouch that they just threw in the back of the packaging. Wow. Yeah, that thing's fragile.
Especially now, after 30 years, 35 years.
I wonder if it, you know, had something to do with the fact that they didn't know if they were actually going to get that backpack thing to work or something like that. And so they're just like, well,
they could have scrambled.
Yeah, scrambled. Yeah. And they're just like, you know what? It's
could have given them the one dar.
Yeah. There you go. That's right. Well, yeah, because I'm almost wondering if they were having problems with the design of it. And so they're just like, well, we might not put it out. We might, you know, at least we can have them come with a string and a grapple hook or something like that. But
that's true.
You know, so it was kind of a safe thing to do on the packaging.
Or you just give them the gun.
Yeah.
Give him a shield or something.
Like,
I don't know.
What a lame spider with a gun. Like, it doesn't do anything but shoot.
Yeah.
But bright makes orange sense, gun.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Makes sense.
With a laser rifle.
With a laser rifle. That's right.
Yeah, the laser gun seems almost an afterthought.
It is.
Let's throw a laser in there.
No worse than Stinkor.
I suppose.
The shield. Like,
that's right.
The heck? Yeah, not even right. A weapon?
Not even a weapon. I'm just here to
smell.
I'm just
here to stink and not get hit by stuff.
That's right. Everybody hates me.
If he does stink, you know, they're throwing stuff at him.
I'm rubber, you're glue. That's so funny.
Get out of here, Stinkor. We don't want you in this room.
That's so funny. Oh,
maybe,
man.
Maybe that was a glow disc, though. Maybe that's what
they were. Oh, see, that's what it is. Yeah. It wasn't a shield.
They should have released a glow disc with
that. Out there playing frisbee golf and
I'm just out here playing glow disc.
Dude, I just smell like God made me.
Get over yourselves.
Bunch of flower scented weirdos.
Him and Squeeze are playing glow disc in the back.
That's cheater.
You can use Squeeze's arms as the ropes for this.
There you go. Squeeze did too many of the CrossFits.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That's funny. Well, I think on that note, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. So thanks, Lee, for coming on. And
it's been fun.
Yeah.
We'll do it again sometime.
And Carl, it's always fun when we get to record together.
It's nice to finally get over here to Omaha.
That's right.
It's a nice day. We'll go play glow disc and we'll go home.
And if you guys have been missing Carl and you don't get to listen to enough podcasting, make sure you check out Carl's other podcast. And it's entitled,
called Nobody Likes He-Man. It's where I talk about how terrible He-Man was.
Yeah, it's like
anti-He-Man.
It's anti-Carl.
It's called the Goat Kicker podcast. You'll notice it says V2 after it. It's version 2. It's a podcast that existed before I let it go defunct, and I've resurrected it. So if you're into that sort of thing.
It's really, really good.
It's awesome.
And it's G-O-A-D kicker.
So yeah, not goat.
Yeah, not goat.
Animals,
the goat kicker.
Yeah, no animals were hurt.
No animals were harmed. Yeah,
no animals were harmed in making this podcast.
So the goat kicker. Check it out. So
it's awesome.
And also, like we said, Lee Searcy from Covert Nerd.
Yep, at covertnerd.net. We did a crossover with Mega, which was a blast. And just all things nerdy.
And we'll have to do more.
Yes, definitely.
And this time we'll have Carl come. Maybe we'll just go to Council Labs and we'll just meet you.
Oof. We'll all hop in the Kia and try to find Mowar.
There you go.
Yeah.
Form tackle.
No, Mowar finds you.
Well, that's true. That's true. You don't find Mowar. Mowar finds you. That's an inside joke, so you have to listen to the Goat Kicker podcast to find out.
That's right. And make sure you check us out at the Minicon coming up on June 1st over at Rainbow Comics in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a whole bunch of us. So Omug's going to be there. Artalee Bachman will be there.
Tank Zombie Studios.
Covert Nerd, obviously. Dim. Mega. Daydream Instruction Manual. Carl, you should go.
Yeah. I wasn't involved in this one, I don't think. Yeah. Right. Well, I will be at the public library in Council Bluffs tomorrow or Sunday. Yeah. For their spring local authors fair. But I will have nothing He-Man related with me.
Tisk. Shame.
It doesn't mean we won't do the secret handshake if you're a Mega fan.
There you go. Yeah,
come
That's right.
The Mega Secret Handshake.
That's right. If you know the Mega Secret Handshake, then we'll give you a free
toy. Just come over and say Glow Disc. I'll give you 10% off.
There you go. Man, that'd be sweet. Luckily for you, it's coming. This episode will come after that.
Yeah,
so you don't have to lose on any money.
Merchandising.
They see you at Walmart someday, like, Carl, hey, Glow Disc. Like, God dang it. Shoot. Fine. But anyways, on that note, until next time, good journey.
but sure nice without Eddie here.
thank goodness he's gone.
We can send file to him.
That's yeah. right.
Can't believe we got matching tattoos the day he wasn't here.
Mega.